Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to listeners to Atun Trade Islam International. We welcome you once again to the panel discussion. We're talking about guidelines for the Hafiz of the Quran Kareem. One or two ahadith of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the rewards promised to a Hafiz of the Quran Kareem. And this maybe not generally to a Hafiz, but to a person who reads the Quran Kareem. That just to recap to listeners, for every alphabet a person reads of the Quran Kareem, he earns a minimum of 10 rewards for that. And Allah yudha'ifu liman yasha', that's his minimum, 10 rewards is minimum. Allah Pak multiplies it, more than that as well. Like we mentioned, Quran al-Kareem has 6,666 verses. We calculated and it came out to, I think, 200,000 rewards. That was the minimum. Not 200,000. It was much, much more than that. It was 2 million. Yes, 2 million. 200,000 times 20, I think it was, or times 10. We calculated 2 million then. So, subhanAllah, to listeners, great fada'il, many, many virtues regarding, you know, the Quran al-Kareem and the virtues of the Hafiz of the Quran al-Kareem. But with that comes, you know, a lot of guidelines, a lot of demands when a person learns the Quran al-Kareem as well, inshallah. So we're talking about all about the Hufad al-Karam, inshallah al-Aziz, you know, is ikhlas, sincerity, intentions behind becoming a Hafiz of the Quran al-Kareem, advices for the parents, for the students as well, inshallah. And you know, in the 60s, there was a shortage of Hufad in Transvaal, and therefore our elders will tell us for the month of Ramadan, you know, Hufaz would be brought from the Cape Town area or from abroad to perform the Taraweeh Salah. But alhamdulillah, you know, 30 years later, 4 decades later, maybe 30, 40 years later, we have a situation where there are not enough venues to give all the Huffaz from our communities the opportunity to perform the Taraweeh Salah. And the question that we now ask ourselves is, are our Huffaz living up to expectations? So today, inshallah, Al Aziz, we're talking to Malana Yahya Bamsap, who is in the studios. We'd like to welcome Malana Yahya Bamsap. Malana Sap, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Mawlana.
Jazakallah for your time, Mawlana Sahab. And lovely talking to Mawlana Yahya Bamsap in the studios after a long time, Mawlana Sahab. Alright, you have the experts, dear listeners, inshallah, they will be answering your questions. Give us a call as well. But before we give you the telephone numbers, we're crossing over via telephone to Mawlana Ahmad Chauhan. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to you, Mawlana Sahab.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to Mawlana Yahya Bam and all our listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullah for your time, Malana Sap. Yes, listeners, we have the ulama kiram on board, Mali Yahya Bam Sap and Malana Ahmad Chauhan Sap. They'll be giving us guidelines, nasihat as well, inshallah, regarding how to memorize the Quran Kareem, easy steps towards memorizing the Quran Kareem, how the Hafiz ought to live by the commandments of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, intentions behind becoming a Hafiz of the Quran Kareem, inshallah, and all related questions. Number to call for the program, 0118541548, and the SMS for the program is 0825808070. Well, I hear Bam Sap, first question, Malana Sap. Perhaps we can begin by speaking about the exalted position of the Book of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make us understand, Malana, what we are about to learn, what we are memorizing, the exalted kitab in the Book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Malana Sap.
Jazakallah, Malana, a very interesting and a question that needs a very, very lengthy answer, Malana. The Quran Kareem, the Word of Allah. What can we say about the Word of Allah? Well, with regards to the great position of the Quran Kareem, the Word of Allah, where, as you mentioned, that for every word, every letter a person gets a reward, and this is whether a person understands the meaning or doesn't understand the meaning. With regards to becoming a Hafiz, this is one of the areas where there are those people that you will find that argue, what is the sense in learning the Quran without knowing the meaning? And when somebody asks this question, surely enough, the first response will be, as Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that Ya Tawo Jain Hai Ya Ghafil Hai. One is that he's ghafil, he doesn't know, he is ignorant. And if he is not ghafil with regards to this matter, then he is a jahil like the juhala, the people of ancient times that used to speak crazy matters. Because when Allah Ta'ala's word is recited, then the thawab of the recitation, as Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in a hadith, that for every alphabet you're going to get 10. And the example that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose to give was not Alhamdulillah or Subhanallah or some other words that have meaning. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose to use Alif Lam Mim as the example. And Alif has 10 rewards, Lam and Mim. And what is the meaning of Alif Lam Mim? Or Kaf Haya Insad, or Hamim Insin Kaf, all these huruf muqatta'at. If a person looks at these, there will be the meaning is only known to Allah, or in Mi'raj, Allah Ta'ala revealed it to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But otherwise, the meaning. So this is with regards to the meanings, with regards to the reward, and then with the exaltedness of the Quran Kareem, that is something, Mawlana, many, many ahadith and ayat of the Quran that need to be looked at for a person to understand what the great position is.
Jazakallah, Mawlana, so for that, very correct, as Mawlana Yahya Bami saying, listeners, really the Quran Kareem is indeed the biggest miracle Allah is sent to mankind compared to all the other miracles given to the Nabis before Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And really the most marvelous and unique book on the earth, talking to the scientists, the doctor, the economists, and people of every profession, of every zamana as well. And most importantly, the common people as well, the common men. We're now crossing over, inshallah, to Mawlana Chauhan Sahab. Mawlana Sahab, with regards to the Quran Kareem, question coming up, that why is it important for some of us to memorize Kalamullah, Mawlana?
Ji, Mawlana, a very, very interesting question. And I think right here, all of us need to always check our niyat and our intention, why we do certain things in Islam. But roughly and very vaguely, there will be four reasons why we should all try to aspire to become hafiz of the Quran Kareem. We all know that this kitab, the Quran Kareem, is the final kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Quran is here to stay till the end of this world, and very close to Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift it up. So the ahkam and the laws of the Quran Kareem is also going to be abided by till that period of time. And obviously the words of the Quran Kareem need to also remain, unlike the previous kitabs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this Quran, and Allah has taken the responsibility himself to safeguard the Quran. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the hearts of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each heart had been chosen by Allah, so to say, handpicked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep this Quran mahfuz, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard it in the hearts of the hafiz. So that will be one reason why all of us should aspire to become hafiz of the Quran Kareem, because we will be making this great khidmat of the Quran. Going further, it is a very powerful means of qurb and linking ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that becoming hafiz of the Quran Kareem, the Quran is in our hearts. And Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahumullah had put it very, very beautifully, that if we take a very, very expensive itar and we put it into a bottle, then obviously we will choose a very, very expensive bottle also. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in order to safeguard that itar, we will look after that bottle. So this qurub, that bottle, the heart of the Quran Kareem, the heart that has the Quran Kareem, becomes very, very special to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by reciting the Quran Kareem, like Hazrat Maulana had explained, the sawab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us, and together with that we will gain closeness to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Like we find Sayyidina Ikrama rahmatullah alayhi, when he used to take the Quran to recite it, he used to fall unconscious. And he used to say, Hada kalamu Rabbi, Hada kalamu Rabbi. And that is all sometimes he was able to say, because he understood the greatness of this Quran Kareem. The third reason, very, very briefly, obviously the sawab in the akhirat, that ranks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the hafiz of the Quran Kareem. Yuqalu li sahibi al-Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the announcement, will have the announcement made to the person of the Quran Kareem, that recite the Quran, read the Quran, and as you read an ayah of the Quran, you will raise. As the Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has stated, that many ulama of the opinion that when a hafiz reads one ayah of the Quran, he's going to raise one rank. And as you explained, over 6,000 ayat of the Quran Kareem, there is never a greater rank for anyone than the Huffaz of the Quran Kareem. And perhaps one last reason that we will discuss very briefly is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that it is by this Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised nations, and it is by this kitab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disgraced nations. Muslims. So that nation that looks after the Quran, and I think at the very, very outset, we also need to set the record straight that when we speak of a hafiz of the Quran Kareem, we are not speaking of a person that has separated the words of the Quran from the meaning and separated amal from the words of the Quran Kareem. We need to put all this into perspective, and then inshallah we will find that these four reasons basically will become the very important reasons why a person will become hafiz of the Quran.
SubhanAllah, JazakAllah for the advice, Malona Sahib. Mali Yahya Bamsab, Malona Sahib, we continue. Maybe ask Malona with regards to the Sahaba. What was the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu majma'in's attitude, Malona Sahib, in their approach towards Hifz al-Quran?
Well, here again, it is something to do with our iman and our belief. Where we do find people that argue and present, and they have at times approached Muslims when we find missionaries, etc., coming to the doors of the Muslim, then this is an argument that they place, that your Quran was on a few leaves and on a few barks of the tree, etc., on skin, and some of it got lost, and that is why the Quran is not as it was when it was revealed. This is something that is very misleading. With regards to its written format, that might be true. But with regards to the hafiz of the Quran Kareem, first of all, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was a hafiz of the Quran. He had learned the Quran. And the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to hurry in wanting to take the words, to remember the words, that ayat of the Quran Kareem were revealed with regards to how he needs to take the matters as it come. But then, immediately after that, Sahaba Ikram used to make hifz of those ayat, and there were many Sahaba. There was one battle in which 70 were martyred at one time. Now, this is a few of those. Many of them like that were the Sahaba around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that had learned the Quran Kareem, that were hafiz of the Quran Kareem, and that they understood the reward of the learning of the Quran Kareem. So the Sahaba, many of them were hafiz, and that was the main source in which this Quran was looked after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We are going to look after this Quran. And who is this we? All those that memorize it become part and parcel of that we. Sahaba were part and parcel of that. And then throughout time, through all times, there were hufaz of the Quran Kareem. And there are incidences where there are people, at one time the British in India tried to destroy the Quran, thinking that the words of the Quran, if it's destroyed, we will destroy this people and the nation.
Sure.
And that is when in Panipat the head of the British was called, and he was shown when this youngster started reading one after the other, and he was told, how will you take the Quran out of the heart of these people? So the Quran was made ibadat that way from the time of Sahaba Ikram, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam onwards.
Malona. All right, going on further, listeners, this is your phone-in program panel discussion. We're talking to Malona Hiya Bamsab, as well as Malona Ahmad Chauhan Sahib. We're talking about the Hufaz al-Kiram, suggestions, the ulama kiram giving us advice regarding becoming hafiz of Quran Kareem. Also, we're talking about are the Hufaz living up to the expectations, inshallah, and Aziz's guidelines on becoming a hafiz of the Quran Kareem. Malona Ahmad Chauhan Sahib, with regards to the Malona Hiya Bamsab alluded to the question regarding the Sahaba's attitude and approach towards Hifz al-Quran. Malona Sahib, talking about the Sahaba, can you mention the names of some of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, who were Hafiz al-Quran, and also their attitude towards Hifz al-Quran, Malona?
Ji, Malona, one kitab, Manazil al-Irfan, Allama Zarqani Rahmatullah Alayhi has enlisted a large number of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who had become Hafiz of the Quran Kareem in Al-Itqan also. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahimahumullah has also listed a few of them. But very, very interesting that Maulana spoke about that those Sahaba that had become Shaheed, 70 of them. Ulama have also written that if we take just the two battles, Bir Mauna and the Battle of Yamama, together in those two battles, the minimum of 140 Sahaba that became Shaheed were Hafiz of the Quran Karim. So that was just those Sahaba that had become Shaheed. Otherwise, we find a long list looking at the Khulafai Rashideen, all the Khulafai Rashideen, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was very famous of him that he used to make tilawat of the entire Quran, sometimes in one rakat, sometimes in two rakat, and then of course Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahu. Besides that, we find other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Hazrat Talha's name has also been enlisted as the Hufaz among the Sahaba. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Salim, who was the freed slave of Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then the three Sahaba whose names have Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the fourth also Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the fifth Abdullah ibn Sa'ib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Those were from amongst the Muhajirin. From amongst the Ansar, it has been listed, and of course we all know and very acquainted with the Sahabi Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Also very interesting, in the list of the Huffaz, we find three of our mothers, the Azwaj Mutahharat radiallahu ta'ala anhunna. Our mother, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, was also Hafidha of the Quran. Sayyidatuna Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Their names have also been enlisted in the list of the Sahaba who are Hafiz of the Quran Kareem. And I think one other important note that we must understand is that many of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had accepted Islam in the latter part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life. So many of them had started Hafiz of the Quran Kareem in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but perhaps they may have not completed the Quran in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But just one narration from Hazrat Masruq, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to mention or used to look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "I will always have love in my heart for this person." Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is referred to because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to actually tell the Sahaba, and this is a sort of certificate that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave to four Sahaba. They take the Quran from four Sahaba. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Salim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So these are the list of some of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As we mentioned earlier, that if we take the two battles alone, Bir Mauna and Yamama together, 140 Huffaz at the minimum had become shaheed in these two battles.
Jazakallah Malona for that. We go on further, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah for holding on, my brother G.
I've got a question for Maulana Bam.
G, go ahead.
Maulana, is there any age restrictions for someone to memorize the Quran? Look, I'm a firm believer that one seeks knowledge from cradle to the grave. The other thing is, okay, I'm 58 years old, and I just wanted to find out, is there any institute in the Asia area that would offer places for one to memorize the Quran? And second of all, I just wanted to find out how many pages should one try to memorize per day in order to make the khatam of the Quran.
Jazakallah, my brother. Allah fulfill all your desires, and if your desire is to become a hafiz, Allah fulfill your wishes. Allah make you a hafiz of the Quran Karim as well. Subhanallah, nothing is too late. Jazakallah, my brother. I think you dropped the line. Shemala Asab, very interesting.
Jazakallah, very, very interesting and a good question. My brother, I remember when we were in Hardoi, when we were studying in Hardoi, then Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to encourage people to do hifz, those that were working and those that were in advanced age. There was one wakil, a lawyer, that used to come to the majlis, and he used to learn one para per year. In a whole year, he learned only one para. But he would learn it so thoroughly that when Tarawih comes and when the Hafiz is standing in front, and when it is those paras that this lawyer had already learned, subhanAllah, he will be taking out the mistakes. But in this way, every year he used to do one para, and he was at that time when we knew him at 80. And by then he had done something like 13 paras or so. So we used to tell him that you're going to be very old when you finish your hijz. And he used to say that no, there is no age restriction. And if I don't want to, I would like to not finish while I'm alive, because if I go into the qabr, if I have done 15 or 10 or 20 paras, then the angel will make the person complete his hijz, and on the day of Qiyamah he will stand up amongst the hufaz. So those that are listening in and that are not hafiz, why not start the hijz now? One ayat a day, two ayats a day. And which madrasa? You can come to our madrasa where we are, any madrasa, any imam. The imam behind whom you make a salat, go to him and tell him, I want to learn every day one ayat or two ayats. What's wrong with that? Okay. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did the hijz in how many years? When the Quran started being revealed, when he was in Makkatul Mukarramah, until the end, more or less in 23 years the Quran was revealed, and that is how he became a hafiz. So there is no restriction. Yes, it is that if a person is young and they do the hafiz, then they will learn easier and the memory might be stronger, but there is no restrictions at all. So Mubarak to you, brother, and all those that are listening, make this intention and start your hafiz, and daily one ayat or two ayats, do it one subara a year. Inshallah, in 30 years you'll finish. And if before the 30 years have passed, if you go away from this dunya, Allah will make you make the complete hijz in the qabr. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, you will stand among the wafas.
SubhanAllah. I mean, Jazakallah for the caller, and Jazakallah for the lovely advice and nasihat, Mulla Yahya Baham Sahib. You know, never too late to become a hafiz and to learn the Quran Kareem, and never too old to get married also, Mulla.
Where are you taking us to? In another direction. Mulla Chauhan, ye kya karega, bhai?
Chauhan hi aage.
Master, but would like to expound on this. What are some of the rewards promised for the Hafiz of Quran?
Jimana, as Malana Chauhan Sahib just now mentioned, that the command will be given, read as you used to read in the dunya. And for every ayat that you read, the person will go one step higher in the Jannah and in the Akhirah. And the last ayat that he reads, that is the highest stage that he will go to. So this is one of the rewards. Another that comes to mind is that the Hafiz will intercede on the day of Qiyamah. Now here, yeah, a very important, which we will do as we're going through, with regards to the niyyah and with regards to the amal of the Hafiz. This will go right through as we talk. Amal, amal, amal. Because how many huffaz there are, Mawlana, that sometimes you feel shy to say, this is a Hafiz of Quran. But in any case, with regards to the rewards, this person that has amal in his life, and he is sincere in his niyyah, 10 such people who are doomed to go to Jahannam, he will intercede on their behalf, and he will become a means of them going into paradise. In this way, the reward of the Hafiz is in recitation as he learns. Therefore, it is not necessary that a person does Hijj in 1 or 2 or 3 years. It could be as many years, and the more years he takes in the doing of the Hijj, the more years of Quran learning he does, the more greater he is elevating himself in closeness to Allah Ta'ala. And there are so many incidences where the person, after he had left the dunya also, in the akhirah, when people through Kashf had seen such people, or in the digging of Qubur, they had found the Hafiz of the Quran reading a Quran-e-Kareem. And that is what they desired when they went into the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala make us understand what great rewards they are for the doing of the Hafiz of the Quran.
Kareem, inshallah. Jazakallah for that. Mawlana Chan, some with regards to the parents of the Hafiz as well. Mawlana Sahib, Mawlana Hebam spoke about the rewards for the Hafiz in the Quran. Subhanallah, Allah is so merciful. Allah will not only give the rewards to the Hafiz, but Allah Rabbul Izzat will bless the parents of the Hafiz of the Quran as well. Mawlana Sahib, will the parents of the Hafiz of the Quran also receive rewards in honor in the Akhirah? Can Mawlana expound on some of the rewards promised to the parents of the Hafiz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mawlana?
Jee Mawlana, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a rule, like we will find in Surah Mu'min, when the malaika that carried the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua for the believers. One of the duas, Rabbana wa adkhilhum jannati adnin allati wa'adtahum wa man salaha min abaihim wa azwajihim wa dhurriyatihim. The rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very beautiful and blessed rule, that person that has deen, iman, and obviously in many, many instances the struggle of one person flows over to the other. The parents also need to make sacrifices. Sometimes wives have to make sacrifices. Sometimes children have to make sacrifices. And these sacrifices undoubtedly are acknowledged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One important aspect, perhaps when one child in a home is becoming a hafiz in the proper sense of the word, and parents also, their tarbiyat is also made, the frame of mind is 100%, then obviously for them there are many, many sacrifices. Sometimes it's the sacrifice of weekdays, sometimes of weekends, sometimes of holidays. And obviously when a person gives his son out or his daughter out to the Quran Kareem, and he makes that person not only a hafiz or a hafiza, but that person then aspires and he encourages them to continue learning the meaning of the Quran Kareem, making amal and dedicate their lives to the Quran and to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That obviously is a very, very great sacrifice. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, undoubtedly he is shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most appreciative. Allah is halim. Allah is most tolerant. The broken efforts we make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us. The very famous hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person that became hafiz of the Quran Kareem, again Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, wa amila bima fihi, and he also practices upon what is in the Quran Kareem. So ulbisa walidahu tajan yawm al qiyamah, his parents will be made to wear the crown on the day of qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes this crown. The very brief description is that it will shine more than the shining of the sun. If the sun had to be in one house, in a person's house in this material world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then concludes, what do you think will be the condition of the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hafiz of the Quran Kareem himself? Then we find in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that person who learns the Quran Kareem, that is, he becomes hafiz of the Quran Kareem, and then he practices upon it, then his parents will be made to wear this crown of nur on the day of Qiyamah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the clothing of Jannat, a clothing of honor and respect. And that clothing and that crown, in comparison to this world, the world is absolutely nothing. So when this person sees this, he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, why did you grant this to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, because your child learned the Quran Kareem, and this is in lieu of that. To get the appreciation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I think the key words in both these ahadith is that the practice also comes with the hifz of the Quran Kareem. In one hadith, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also mentions a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who makes his child learn nazira of the Quran Kareem, in other words, looking inside and learning the Quran Kareem, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his past and future sins. And I think this is very, very important for us as parents, that we should take cognizance of it, and then that person whose child becomes the hafiz of the Quran Kareem, then his face will shine brighter than the 14th moon on the day of Qiyamah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the son, that the child in other words, that you read, and then that whole hadith of Iqra wartaqi warattil, that now you read and you raise as you read one ayah of the Quran Kareem. So many rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in appreciation of a person becoming hafiz of the Quran Kareem.
Yes, jazakallah, and very important, you know, once you learn properly, inshallah, for the rest of your life, the Quran Kareem will be pakka, like Malaya Hayabah I'm saying, and if it's not correct, then for the rest of your life you have a problem. Alright, Malay Chowan Sahab, Malana Sahab, what is the best time for a youngster to begin with Hifdhul Quran, Malana?
Well, I think very important is the nazara of the child. If the nazara is correct and the nazara is fluent, that makes it very easy. So that can vary from child to child at the age groups, maybe at 9, 10, 11, 12, it just depends. Adding on to what Hazrat Muhammad Yahya said, as far as the his class and the full time his class is concerned, I think sometimes also we want to expedite the process, starting the child without the nazara being proper and sometimes without the tajweed being proper. So I think very, very important is that the nazara is proper. When you speak about proper nazara, the child is able to read fluently. Secondly, the tajweed of the child is good. Then the child is ready to start the hifz from that aspect. Then from the other aspect, of so far as dedication is concerned, when hifz is dedicating oneself to the Quran for the rest of one's life. But obviously the dedication in the initial years sometimes may be difficult for parents and children, but we need to be able to see that when the child is ready for dedication to the Quran Kareem, then obviously the child will be ready now to continue the Quran. And also adding to what Hazrat just said earlier on, is that today the environments of the secular education where sporting activities have become a major issue. I don't know whether it is part of education, but it is made to seem that it is part of education, and children need to be very clear, or rather the parents need to be very, very clear of it. The other day we had a parent that called that, I want my child to do his, but also the child will be out off for 3 days in the week, because the child has to go to for some extracurricular activities.
Sure.
So that parent and that child itself, forget the child, the parent is not ready for her child or his child to begin his, because they don't understand what is this Quran all about. They don't understand that in his, it is like a chain, one link linked to the other. The link of sabak is linked to the sabak door. The link of the sabak door is linked to the door. The para door that takes place, all these are linked. And when that chain breaks, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, one day's ghaflat is 40 days jahiliyat. One day a child is absent, its effects can go on for many, many days.
Sure.
So it is very, very important that the child is prepared insofar as the child's emotions are concerned, ruhaniya, the spirituality of the child also needs to be, the child needs to be prepared and geared up, and the child needs to understand that this is a dedication that I will have to dedicate. I will have to sometimes dedicate my weekends, sometimes I will have to dedicate my holidays. Parents also need to know that. I mean, how many times don't we have these confrontation between hifz ustad and parents, that the hifz ustad, the hifz term has been determined already, that at certain time we are going to give chutti, but parents sometimes they want to make the umrah trips, they want to go overseas, and they want to take the children with. I mean, that's a good thing insofar as they are concerned, but then the lack of dedication that comes. So I think the preparedness of the child also depends on the parent, how prepared the parent is to sacrifice this child for the sake of the Quran, for the sake of the Kalamullah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think maybe very, very important that at the enrollment, parent needs to be sit down, child also needs to be made to sit down, and the ustad or the ulama need to speak to them and roll this out in front of them, that these are the expectations, inshallah, and if they have understood it, they have accepted it, then we will find that this link between ustad, parent and child becomes a very strong bond, and then the child will be ready. But I think overall the first thing is this, that we need to see how good the nazra is insofar as the tajweed is concerned and the fluency.
Talking to us about the link, which is so important. I think we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Chi, your question?
I would like to pose a question to Mulana Johan.
Alright, go ahead, my brother.
Mulana Johan, I am doing Hafiz, I'm doing Hif, and I'm a girl, so what's the best method for Tarawih, to perform Tarawih or Dawr? What would Mulana suggest?
All right.
Do you want to repeat the question?
Just say the question again, my brother. The best form to be prepared for Tarawih.
For a girl.
Sorry?
For a girl.
For a girl.
To do a door.
Or for a girl.
For a girl.
For a girl.
Yes.
The best Tarawih method for a girl.
Yes.
All right, JazakAllah for that. Okay, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mala Sahab, by any chance, I think there was a question earlier. Let me just read this SMS house again also. Malana, Assalamu alaikum, if you can please give some advice for the Hafidhas girls as to how to go about reading their door in Tarawih Salah. That was a question that came in a few minutes ago as well, Malana.
Okay. Well, I think very, very important, I think, for our boys and our girls, and I was going to talk about this later, but we might as well do it earlier. See, the Tarawih comes, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan.
Yeah.
A very, very great deed and a very great ibadat in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, undoubtedly. But I think very important is when we look at the lives of the Sahaba ikiram, ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in didn't wait for the month of Ramadan only for them to make tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem in the Tarawih Salat. One is the tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem in the Salat, and one is the tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem out of the Salat. When we look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the example of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his preference was generally to look in the Quran al-Kareem also, and then also Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to read make tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem in the Tarawih Salat. I came across one narration that people used to say to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you fast lesser and then other Sahaba, then why do you do this? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded and he said that because I await the night, so when the night falls, then I stand up in my salat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that I make tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem. Earlier on we spoke about Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that in one rakat, sometimes two rakats, he used to make tilawat of the entire Quran Sharif. And this was the habit of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the habit of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. I think this is an ideal forum that we need to move the mindset for a Hafiz only to be concerned about the Tarawih Salat. It is, as I said earlier on, it's a very great ibadat, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about it in the ahadith. It is a reality and it has to carry on. There's no two ways about that. And a Hafiz should be reading the Tarawih Salat. But I think we're going one step forward, that besides the Tarawih Salat, to try and make tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem out of Tarawih in the month of Ramadan and out of the month of Ramadan. And perhaps in our, like as the sisters have been asking the questions, they have a greater opportunity than us also. In the first Salat also they should be making tilawat of Quran al-Kareem, and like they can do when they're doing their door. In the Sunnati Mu'akkada Salat, in the Nawafil Salat, and in all the other Salats, the Tahajjud Salat, the Ishraq, the Chas, the Awabin, in all these Salat we should try and create a system whereby we make tilawat of a certain portion of the Quran al-Kareem. If it is one juz, then we should read that one juz throughout the entire day. So inshallah, in this way, the Quran also will become 100% pakka inshallah. And on the other hand, I think Hazrat Mawlana Yahya Baham can give us a little bit more on this. I think Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahimahumullah, if I heard correctly and if I remember, he used to make tilawat of 12 to 15 paras letters in the Nawafil Salat. So these are our al-kabir. These are how they had understood the Quran Kareem, that it should be recited in the Salat, in the Nawafil Salat, on a daily basis, inshallah. Then there is no issue of getting prepared for the month of Ramadan, because then inshallah this has become an everyday routine.
JazakAllah Mawlana Sahib. I think we'll take one more question before the news break. Mawlana Yahya Baham Sahib, with regards to, you know, sometimes parents force their children to do hifz of the Quran Kareem. Mawlana, are there negative consequences to this? Once the parents or the child forces the child to become a hafiz of the Quran Kareem?
Surely, Mawlana, there will be negative results of this. That when a parent, as we said a little earlier, Mawlana spoke about, that parent needs to be sat down, and he needs to be spoken to. They need to understand what is the step they're taking. It's a complete, first of all, not only for the child, a complete involvement in every way, but the parents also. I see very often the mother gives a lot of time, a lot of sacrifice. The mother tries very hard, but the father also needs to understand. In fact, the whole family, their holiday going patterns, etc. Now they can't leave the child at home and go away. The child is going to feel left alone, and that is why the whole family needs to think it through, know the commitment that they are doing, and then go through it. And in this way, if they all stand together, before Fajr, somebody will have to get up to take the child to madrasa, or let the child learn at home in the afternoon, in the evening. If it's not full time, then the child is going to learn right up to Maghrib, Isha Salat.
Mm.
And in this way, if all give these sacrifices together, then something is going to happen. And if we want to have it hit and run, we do have children coming, and I've got this tuition and that tuition to do. You've given only half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not half.
Mm.
That school is 5-6 hours. Madrasa, you're giving 2-3 hours.
That's right.
While you're supposed to give all that time.
Mm.
And now from that little time that you're giving, 2 and 3 hours, again you want to take off 1, 2 or 3 evenings where you want to go and play your soccer or go and do your homework or tuition. That is not going to work out. That is then when we get this half caste, half isab, who then gets involved in so many other things. In fact, the moment this child reaches the 10 para mark, now he has to leave school and come into full time hijz.
Yeah.
And full time does not only mean hours in full time. Then salat has to come right, the beard has to come on, the dressing has to come right, and the life decision needs to come on. It can't be that the child is doing hijz and father sometimes want to go to the casino, he's taking this child with. Then what are we doing? We're creating a monster, a confusion, and that is the child that then hates the father for having made him a hafiz.
Yeah.
And hates himself for having become a hafiz.
The ulama kiram spoke about the lofty stages of the parents of the hafiz, the Quran Kareem, the hafiz as well. Lovely advice, inshallah, when to start, how important is now the Arat, the Jude, etc. Really, we have to understand the hafiz of the Quran Kareem. Allah has blessed you. What a priceless treasure you have been granted by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, you know, the entire dunya together with all its contents and wealth and riches cannot even match one verse of the Quran Kareem that Allah Pak has put in place in your heart as well, let alone the entire Quran Kareem. Like we mentioned, you know, that you've become a special person of Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala, a VIP in the true sense of the word, really, and a member of the family of Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala, whom ahadullahi wa khasatuhu, and who is a family member of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam mentions in the hadith that Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala has family members. Sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, who are the family that the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions from Ahlul Quran? They are the people of the Quran Kareem. So subhanallah, this is really, O Hafiz, who become a special person in the sight of Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala. wa ta'ala, like Malik Johan sub-mentioned, Malik Habam also sub-mentioned quite a few times, with that comes many responsibilities as well. And most important that comes with Hibz al-Quran is, like the ulama kiram alluded to earlier, is amal, like the hadith talks about it, wa'amila biha, those who learn the Quran Kareem, those who practice upon the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we have to practice upon the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the rewards to be bestowed upon you. Then inshallah the parents will be made to wear a crown on the day of Qiyamah, etc. And so much of rewards been promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to answer, maybe ask you, you know, there are some children who do hibs simply to please their parents and have not developed their own desire for it or love for the Quran Kareem Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Long term, can this be harmful?
Jibana, it can be harmful if the child doesn't take on and latch on to the Quran Kareem. If we can understand that the Quran Kareem is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Quran in itself is a magnet. It draws the hearts of the believers closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But obviously when we have a magnet and we take away the metal or the steel from the other side, far away from the magnet is never ever going to draw that steel or that piece of iron towards it. Or if we cannot understand that example, if we take a bucket and put it under the tap and open the tap, obviously the bucket will get full. But if you leave the bucket upside down, then obviously there is no water that is going to go into the bucket.
Sure.
Sometimes, Molana, to magnify the issue, we as parents make some common mistakes that we do not create the love of the Quran in the hearts of our children, and then we force them to do hifz, and they do it just because of us. That is one issue. The other issue is sometimes we make promises of material gains and goals, which sometimes may not be a problem, but it becomes a problem if that goal becomes the only objective in the mind of the child. That if you finish hifz by, I will buy you a motor car.
Mm-hmm.
So the child is only interested in the motor car, and the child forgets everything else that has been linked to the Quran Kareem. So if that happens, Allah forbid, then obviously that is going to be very, very disastrous, both for the parent also and for the child. So I think very, very important that when parents, they have the desires, all of us have our desires for our children, make desires that they become pious, they become ulama, they become hufaz of the Quran Kareem, but obviously we should not force them to do his. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, even to become a hafiz is not farz by Allah Rabbul Izzat, it is not an obligation. Nek or saleh banna farz hai. So I think we should have this into proper perspective. Parents, obviously, our heart goes out to them that they have the enthusiasm, the desire that the children become hafiz of the Quran Kareem, but they should never ever force them to become hafiz of the Quran. It is a long road in the 30 juz of the Quran Kareem, and of course the task to then consolidate it and to keep the Quran within one's heart. So I think very, very important that the parents check their niyat all the time, they check the niyat of their children also, and they encourage them. And I think perhaps if parents are in the situation that they find that the children have not yet linked and latched onto the Quran Kareem, abundant dua also, speak to them about the fadail of the Quran Kareem, speak about the reward and in the akhirat, in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this way we try and link them to the Quran Kareem and link them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah, Malona sir, for that. We go on further. Malona sir, one more question. Mali Chahan sir, before we ask Mali Yahya Bamsab, you know, what is detriment for those doing Hifz al-Quran? Mali Chahan, what can people who are memorizing the Quran Kareem do to make it easy for them? Some advice, Malona?
Jima, I think Khatib Baghdadi, Rahmatullah Ali, when he speaks about Hifz of the Quran Kareem, he says, Inna lil Hifzi Sa'at. There are many, many times of the day that one should consider when one is doing Hifz of the Quran Kareem. And he speaks about the most important time that one should try to memorize and to learn the Quran Kareem is at the time of Tahajjud. And of course, we find that also in the Quran Kareem in Surah Muzammil, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his tilawat of the Quran Kareem and the Tahajjud Salat. So I think the first point is that when we look at it from the material point of view, that the Hafiz should try and choose this time of the day to try and make tilawat of the Quran Kareem and try and use it for the memorizing of the Quran Kareem. The second very, very important aspect is, like in every other field, in the secular world, the secular experts will tell us, the more time we spend in mathematics, the better the mathematician will become. The more time we spend in science, the greater the scientist will become. So the more time we spend on the Quran Kareem, then obviously the greater we will find the benefit and the ease in learning the Quran Kareem. The other aspect is that when one learns the Quran Kareem, one should have adab, one should follow, one should have respect for the Quran Kareem, and the etiquettes of the Quran Kareem should be followed. Now, it is very, very sad indeed that sometimes we find that our Hifz students sometimes fail to make wudu and come into the class, or fail to make wudu and learn the Quran Kareem at home. So the adab of the Quran Kareem is very, very important, to keep the Quran on the rihal, on the stand. The Quran also should be respected. On what the Quran is kept also should also be respected. And the adab of one's dress when one is making tilawat of the Quran Kareem should also be taken into consideration. The other part of it is that when one is making tilawat of the Quran, one should find, or when one is learning and memorizing the Quran, obviously if it is in the Hifz class, everybody is learning, that is a different issue. But if one is doing it at home, then one should find a suitable place where one is able to concentrate on the learning and the memorizing of the Quran Kareem. It is not possible, Allah forbid, that a person sits in front of perhaps a television set and a person then wants to memorize the Quran Kareem. These are two opposites and contradictory. This is the kalam of Allah, and that is shaitan on the other side. Obviously that is going to create a lot of difficulty insofar as the memorizing of the Quran Kareem is concerned. Abundant repetition. A person should try and repeat as much as one can when one is trying to learn the ayahs of the Quran Kareem. And some systems of some of the Hifz ustaz that I saw that I really like is that kasrat-e nazira, that the, before the sabak starts, before the child learns the sabak, the nazira of that sabak, to read it a few times. Some of the Hifz classes I see, the nazira goes 2 or 3 days in front. So perhaps on Monday the child is reading the nazira for Wednesday's sabak already. And I think in the situation that we have, besides the full-time Hifz classes, if it is with the schools on a part-time basis, we should make use and utilize the weekends. So maybe on a Sunday or Saturday or afternoon or whatever it is, try and set out the nazira of the week sabak and try and read it abundantly, so that will facilitate ease when we come to that particular sabak. And then also the two important aspects, Hazrat has touched on it, ikhlas and sincerity. And I think ikhlas and sincerity should be at all times. We should check our niyat, not only when we're making bismillah and we're starting at alhamdu, but each sabak we should renew our niyat and say to ourselves and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, I am making this tilawat, Allah, for your sake. Allah, it is your kalam. Allah, you make it easy for me. So beseech and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullah alayhi has quoted a thought-provoking ayah of the Quran Kareem, and this will bring us to the last point that we'll discuss, and that is to leave guna to the best of our ability. He says in ayat of the Quran Kareem in Surah Al-Ma'idah, although the meaning of the ayat and the reference is made to the Ahli Kitab, but if you look at the words of this ayat, it is thought-provoking. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Then for the having broken their covenant. Now they broke their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also have a treaty and a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hafiz also has a covenant and a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I want to learn your kalam, and whatever it takes, I am going to do. And from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side, Allah is going to create ease for us. But if we break this covenant, then what does Allah say? وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. We make their hearts very hard. And obviously when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forbid, Allah makes the heart hard, then it is very, very difficult for us to learn the kitab of Allah. When that happens, when the gunas come, then you have يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِحِ. He says then they change and they distort the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from its context. وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكْرِ yudhkiru bih, and then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and then they forget to derive benefit from the advices that were given to them. So here in the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in very, very easy terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making reference to the fact that if we break the covenant with Allah by committing guna, the Quran becomes all the more difficult for us.
JazakAllah for the lovely advice and nasihat, Mawlana Sahib. Well, Yahya Baham Sahib, you know, there are severe punishments and warnings for those who forget the Quran Kareem. Mawlana, to parents and potential Hifz students, need to be informed about this prior to undertaking the memorizing of the Quran Kareem?
The answer to this question will be yes and no. In this, that they need to know that it's not something where you're just going to play around with, yeah, and it's just a walk through, and like swimming lessons, this is also just a few lessons to take.
Yeah.
Not that either. They should understand that it's an involvement. But on the other side, much more important is the continuous tarbiyah with the Hifz.
Yeah.
So as the child has started with all the enthusiasm, and now as the child and the parents have started working on the child becoming Hafiz, throughout the Hifz years, to speak to the child, to bring in ahadith, to bring in qissas of the great pious of past time,
mm-hmm,
and like that, working and building on this child to love ulama and to love the pious and to love the Quran. And if this way the child is worked on, then by the time the child is well on the way to Hifz, the child will have understood very well that I need to know this Quran properly. So in this way, that you're not going to frighten the child away the moment the child comes, and before he starts also, you give such a bayan to the child where the child gets frightened that this is now a real punishment that's coming on to me. I cannot do this.
Yes,
or the parents think that. So it's a yes and a no. You need to work on the child, the iman of the child, the thought process of the child, and make the child so that by the time they are complete in Hifz, they love that Quran and they know it is something that I should not be forgetting.
But talking about Tarawih, Mawlana Sahib, with regards to many times we find that the public, sometimes with the walis and the musallis, pressurize the Hafiz of the Quran Kareem to speed, and they actually start counting how many minutes per two rakats. Mawlana Sahib, advice regarding pressurizing the Hafiz of the Quran Kareem in the month of Ramadan to speed up his recitation of the Quran Kareem, Mawlana Sahib. Shall I answer?
See, Mawlana, you know, sometimes I say the one eye is on the musalla and the other eye is on the clock.
Okay.
We are reading the Tarawih Salat. I think here again, our public needs to be cautioned. They need to be educated in this fact that we are reading the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each word needs to be very, very clear. This has been an issue, I think, in our community for quite a long time. People choose actually deliberately to go to those masajid where the Quran is recited in a manner that is very haphazard. Hufaz are rushing through the tilawat of the Quran, they're rushing through the ruku and the sujood also. Mutawallis also need to be cautioned with regards to the choice of the Hufaz. And I think there is no better time in the year to do it than now in South Africa. Isha Salat starts early. It's not very late night that we will be completing. And I think, Mawlana, very important is a good tilawat of the Quran Kareem may just take about, if I'm not mistaken, about 10 minutes more in the whole Tarawih. So I think it's just a matter of 10 or 15 minutes that we are trying to save in our lives. And what do? We go out of the masjid and we are standing there and we are speaking and we're still going home the same time
when
everybody else goes home. So on the one hand, the Hufaz need to be told by their respective asatiza, but ulama-i kiram or whoever they have ta'alluq and contact with, that this is not the way we are going to do it. The imams of the masjid also need to be 100% firm on this issue, that we are not going to allow the Hufaz to read in this manner. The mutawallis also need to take cognizance of it. Then when that happens, from the front, I think, the imam, the musallis, the mutawallis, then obviously the musallis can say whatever they want. They are not going to get their way in this issue of making the Huffaz read in such a manner that sometimes the words of the Quran Kareem, Allah forbid, is not even heard clearly. And I think, Maulana, this is something that we need to address very, very vigorously. But my personal observations, I think in certain masajid, alhamdulillah, they have passed the stage, and alhamdulillah, the tilawat of the Quran Kareem, the qiraat, the tajweed, alhamdulillah, has been far excellent in many, many areas.
Awesome, JazakAllah for that. Regarding further, Maliyah here pumps up a very, very important concern. His community members are complaining that many Huffaz are not coming to the masjid to perform the salah out of the month of Ramadan, especially the Fajr Salah. What should be done, Maulana Sahib, in this regard?
Maulana, the Hafiz needs to be built. That Hafiz needs to be made. This would not happen suddenly that the child is not coming or this Hafiz is not coming for the Fajr Salat or coming for Salat. It is the parents that need to have the thicker that this child is not only memorizing the words of the Quran. It is the Ustad that needs to have the thicker. It is not only the memorizing of the words. It's not only coming and reading the Quran. It is with that to give the tarbiyah. So his with tarbiyah is most important. Hifz without tarbiyah will result in a child that has done hifz but is not there in the masjid, or his dressing is not right, or in fact worse than that, he's going to the wrong places, and then the community is worried that our hafiz, the person that has completed the Quran, is now doing all other things than what is expected for him to have been doing. So where is he going for hifz? Is he being given the tarbiyah? And in the tarbiyah, besides the learning of the Quran, is he doing much more than that learning in the form of knowing Allah, loving Allah, learning the sunnahs, and bringing that into his life? If that happens, inshallah, that fellow will, that Hafiz will keep a beard, he will be in the salat, and his life will have changed, inshallah.
Inshallah, JazakAllah for that. Maulana Sahib, with regards to, we spoke about Hifz al-Quran, Maulana Sahib, how important is regarding the reflection of the Quran Kareem as well as understanding of Kalamullah? Shouldn't a concerted effort be made regarding also to understand the Kalamullah, Maulana?
Maulana, to understand the Quran Kareem is a process. First of all, one has to go to the process of the Arabic language, the surf, the nahwa, the various aspects of Arabic literature, etc. And then only would a person be able to understand the words of the Quran Kareem, in other words, the translation of the Quran Kareem. And then obviously to understand its implications and the finer points, that takes it one step further. I think the system that we have may be a good system, that a child learns the hifz of the Quran Kareem, and then thereafter, once the child learns the Quran Kareem, then the child goes into learning Arabic and then learning the various other aspects of the Shariat, and then obviously the tafsir of the Quran Kareem will come in. Perhaps a little bit difficult in the systems that we have, that if a child is going to dedicate 2 or 3 years to hifz, and then in that we want to do a little bit of Arabic, if it is limited, maybe it will be a good idea, but I think we may experience some difficulties in that. But yes, for the Huffaz of the Quran Kareem, and even for the non-Huffaz of the Quran Kareem, to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, and the commandments of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah, that each one of us should make an effort.
JazakAllah. An SMS coming through, rather a tip. The brother says, make a written list of all the mistakes that repeat constantly in each supara to make sure they do not repeat. This will help you in the long run. And even, for example, dear listeners, after 2, 3, 4, 5 years after you've completed the Hifz al-Quran, these mistakes might resurface as at the time, you know, you can always refer to this notebook as well. And inshallah, JazakAllah for the lovely nasihat and advice as well. It's 8 minutes to 10 o'clock. And we'd like to ask the ulama, Kiram Malana Yahya Bamsa, maybe we can ask you, Malana, what's your advice, what's Malana Sahib's advice to the parents of the Hufad, Mal Yahya?
Like we mentioned, Malana, throughout the program, again, once more, the parents need to understand that this is a dedication that is not only needed from the hafiz, but from the parents themselves. And for this, they need to constantly, frequently. There is no such thing as Parents' Day, as Parents' Days are held in schools.
Mm-hmm.
But to go and sit with the ustad at least once a month to find out about the progress and speak about the child, the student, and to talk about the progress. We did an exercise where I told the full-time Hafiz boys now the other day that go home after having spoken to them about the importance of the mother and the importance of the respect for the mother, then I told them that go home and let your mom write on a paper that you don't give her any problems and she loves you or something to that effect. And all of them came where their mothers had praised them. Now, that is going to bring about in the mother a greater interest in them, and they are going to be mindful that the next time a chit of this type is going to be asked for, I rather behave. Now, this is the way children are made, and this is the way the triangle of mother, the parents, ustad, and the child. This triangle put together, if it works together, then we're going to get, inshallah, that good hafiz coming out.
Ameen, inshallah, jazakallah. Mala Chan Sab, your special advice and nasihat, Mala Sab, to the Hufad Kiram.
Well, to the Hufaz, I think in Hayat al-Sahaba, there is a narration of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his Khilafat. Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu went out in the path of Allah. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had realized there are many, many Hufaz of the Quran Kareem. So he wrote some advices in the form of a letter. I'll just condense it to five advices that he had given, that each one of the Hufaz, each one of us, remember that the Quran is always a source of reward,
sure,
a source of honor, and a treasure in the akhirat. The Quran is a source of reward. Each time we read Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we read Alif Lam Mim, Zalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fi, Allah is rewarding us. Each time we read, it is a source of honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring us. The fact that Allah has given us the tawfiq to read the Quran, it is a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each time we read, it is a zakhira, it is a treasure in the hereafter. Secondly, he said, follow the commandments of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah in the Quran, for that Allah will grant you Jannat. This world, it is a very temporary life for us. We all have that short-term gratification. We want to get that instant gratification right now, but let us wait for it in the hereafter, inshallah, and let us make the Quran our imam. When we do that, inshallah, Allah Rabbul Izzat will guide us into Jannah. The third advice, he said, do not let the Quran follow your own dictates. In other words, and today it is a very, very sad thing, Hazrat was speaking about the beard, for example, how people misconstrued the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. People misconstrued the Quran Kareem, and they want the Quran to follow their own dictates. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I fear Jahannam for such people. Number four, he said, recite the Quran at night, make miswak, get up, make miswak, make wudu, and then recite the Quran Kareem. When you do so, Allah will appoint the angels to come right to your face, and the angels will say, read on, read on. Allah. What a great honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Hufaz of the Quran Kareem, that the angels don't only listen, they will exhort us, inshallah, and we'll be in the company of the angels. The hadith says that we'll be in the company of the angels in the hereafter. Yes, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was saying, in this world it will happen. Number five, and the final one, he said, honor the Quran. If you honor the Quran, Allah will honor you. If you bring disgrace to the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakallah for the program. Much appreciated, Malana. Closing, concluding remarks, Malana, sir, from your side.
With regards to the conclusion of this program, Malana, the Hafiz, the parents, and the Ustad need to know that this is a great amana. We are creating the people that are going to be looking after the Quran, and therefore the full effort needs to be made in making that holistic person not only a hafiz in a cocoon of being a hafiz, but that as a person in akhlaq, making namaz, having the good character, all that put together is going to make that hafiz inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah Malana Yahya Bamsa for the lovely nasihat and advice. Talk Malana Chauhan Sab, concluding remarks. Malana, closing remark from your side.
Well, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed our country and many countries in the world in this modern era and time to have many, many hufaz, many, many ulama. This has been the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we all need to take it one step further, and that is to create the love for the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran Kareem, the love of the sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us link ourselves and our hearts to Allah, and inshallah when we do that, we will find that tremendous amount of barakat and tremendous amount of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our khufaz with a great deal of hidayat inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding that the Quran Kareem really is a message to Allah. When we are reading it, it is as though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us.
Jazakallah Malan Sahib, Malan Yahya Bamsa, Bezrez, Malana Chauhan Sahib for the lovely nasihat. May Allah inshall all of the lovely and good qualities and sifat in our life. Jazakallah Malan Sahib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.